Turn with me to your Bibles right now to Mark chapter 14, please. Mark chapter 14 and verses 22 right up to 26. Now, while you're turning to the scripture, I'd like to share with you a short testimony. Is that all right? If it's okay, wave your hand to me, please. Okay. Now, yesterday, I was ministering in a Singapore camp. Online, I was ministering, you know, camps, whether you minister online or physical, when you're led by the Spirit of God, you get extended in the session, and I'm supposed to meet someone at 12 o'clock, a family, but I couldn't, the camp extended, and I assigned a pastor to do, but the pastor, pastor was 5 minutes late, and someone just told me, someone is waiting, the family is waiting for you. At the waiting room, okay? This was referred by Gilbert Ong, the working colleague. And I'm sure he's watching. And you know what? I excused myself from the camp and told them, just do your thing for a while. I left the monitor camera and came to meet them. And then, to my shock, this grandmother shows me the granddaughter and said, do you remember many years ago you prayed my granddaughter? I can remember the grandma because she talks a bit, but I can't remember the granddaughter. And so I said, I'm not very sure, and we want you to pray for us. You know what? All together there were grandma, the husband, wife, and the two children, not children, teenagers. Now, after I prayed with them, I asked them, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? They come from a Buddhist family. And every one of them said yes. And yesterday, we had something like 5 of them giving their heart to Jesus. Come on, let's give Jesus a glory. And after that, Pastor Boy came and he followed up. And we're going to just follow this family. And I like to let the church know this is a harvest time. In this difficult time, people are looking for some kind of a permanent solution in their life. And the permanent solution in the midst of all of our problem is Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Nobody can be solving problems like Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus a glory. Okay, today's message. Let's look at Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 22 right up to 26. I entitle this short message, Renew Your Perspective. Renew your perspective towards the Lord's Supper. Every one of you are holding a cup and a bread in your hands, right, when you entered, okay? Now, very often, because of the frequency of taking this Lord's Supper, it can become a routine, or it can even become religious. As a result, we miss out with the real relevance of the communion. So every couple of months, once, if you have been in Calvary, I preach about the communion. And I pray this morning the Holy Spirit will renew your perspective so that you can come to the freshness in receiving the communion and the relevance that would come from it. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now, Dr. Manoj asked me this question, Pastor, can we serve communion in the cell group? I said, yes, why not? Okay, I don't have the copyright for communion. So all cell group leaders, you're also encouraged online as well as here, you can serve the communion as long as you do it reverently. That's the most important thing. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And I know all our leaders are reverend enough, even though they don't have the reverend title. Okay? So please go ahead. Okay? Now, let's look at Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 22 right up to 26. This is just before Jesus was charged and to be crucified. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, eat, this is my body." Symbolic right now. Okay, he didn't cut his flesh and give bread. Okay, don't think it's literal. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." And then he went on and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When is this? When is this in the kingdom of God? You know, today I'm here to institute the communion. But when we are in heaven, I don't institute the communion anymore. Are you here with me? Now in Revelation 19 and verse 9, when Jesus said, "You're going to drink it anew in the kingdom of God," this is what he meant. The marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper. Sorry, the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. Does that make sense? Are you guys here? Okay. Now this happens. This happens when all of us have been caught up with Jesus in heaven. Yeah? And Satan is bound for 1,000 years, millennium. And then Satan is released for a short time and is finally crushed. And then new heaven, white throne judgment, and new heaven and new earth. Go back and read Revelation 19 and 20 and 21, 22. And then it says here, "Then he said to me, 'Ride, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" Marriage supper of the Lamb. "And he said to me, 'These are true the sayings of God.'" Go back to Matthew 14, verse 26. "And when they had sung a hymn," wow, the disciples were taught to sing a hymn. Can we sing hymns? The younger generation, can we go back to the hymns? You know, all that we sang in Bible school was hymns in the chapel. "On the hill far away stood an old rugged cross." What else? At the cross, all the blood of Jesus, the royal diadem. Of course, we didn't sing Amazing Grace because people die, they sing Amazing Grace. "What a friend we have in Jesus." What else, Betty? What else? So they were so meaningful. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. They sang a hymn. Now, what is the purpose of this short message? You know, all of us are going to participate in this. The purpose of this short message is the relevance. Everybody say relevance. The relevance of the Lord's Supper for us today. The relevance of the Lord's Supper for you and I today. And we don't want to just come, as I said, we don't want to just come and take the communion because it's familiar. We don't want to come and take the communion because it is served. We don't want to come and take the communion religiously. We don't want to come and take this communion routinely. We want to come and take it with the revelation of the cross. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And we want to come back to it. So next time you come to the communion table, it's no longer, this is another part of the service, like giving or worship. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. You know, friends, I come from a very typical Assemblies of God church. Because I come from Assemblies of God Bible School. I always joke, they assembled all the gods and then they worship. You know, in a typical Assemblies of God church, communion is served once a month. Albert, is it true, Albert? We all come from the same feather. We are called the Assemblies of God birds. Once a month. And that once a month, the attendance will be more. The first week of the month, you can have all the religious people, all the traditional people, all the routine people will come. First week, pastors will expect a bigger crowd on the first week of the month. And then some of them come only once a month to pay their tithes, and after that they don't come. They just come for communion. Pretty quiet. Now, Calvary is not like that, okay? We broke that here. Why? Because for them, communion is religious. It's religious. I don't know what it means to them, but it's religious. So they would keep the first month of first week of the month free there so that they can come. Now, we don't do that here. Now, very quickly, all of us, in a short while, we're going to take communion and I'm going to serve the communion. What is the relevance and the reality? What's the revelation of this communion to you who is waiting to partake this communion today? Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23, right up to 26, which is a familiar statement we often say when we are serving communion, right? Now, let's see. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, reading from verses 23 right up to 26. Are you with me? Can somebody say amen, please? I'm looking forward in seeing the church being full again. Seriously, I pray that people will come off the line. First time you're asking them to come offline. Okay, offline. Okay, praise God. You know what? Yesterday morning, this morning, early morning, I had a dream. I just want to encourage the second level and all the leaders. So many cars coming into the car park. Until the Rela guys are upset, no? Okay, right. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, reading from verses 23 right up to 26. Now, Paul receives this as a revelation. Everybody say revelation. Whereas Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 22 to 26, is an instruction. Everybody say instruction. And many years later, Paul receives a revelation. A revelation always brings a relevance and a reality of God's intention for you and I. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And that's what happened. And out of his revelation, he says, this is the spiritual significance of the communion. Two things only, okay? For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. In other words, what I saw, I want to share. Okay? And he said this, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he has given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's a revelation. That's a revelation. Whereas Jesus said, you will not take this cup until the what? Until the supper of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right or wrong? Ivy, right or wrong? Are you hearing or not? Yes. But here, unlike the revelation of the instruction of Mark, here Paul receives a revelation in remembrance of me. Everybody say, in remembrance of me. Okay, and then he goes on to say, in the same manner, like manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant. Everybody say, new covenant. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us anyone in Christ is a new creation. All things have gone. Everything has become new. Somebody say amen, please. John the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that the world will know that you are my disciples. Come on. Hebrew, the 7th chapter, the 8th chapter tells us God found fault in the old covenant, so he has to establish a new covenant. Come on, somebody say amen, please. He said, a new covenant, it's a revelation. It's a revelation. And then he goes on to say, my friends, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And he adds on, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord till he comes. Hallelujah. Come on, there are two powerful relevance. There are two powerful significance. There are two powerful reality that the communion that God has instituted through his son Jesus before his crucifixion can bring to you and I today, that can make our lives complete and relevant in our walk with God. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't it wonderful? What is it? What is it? I try to finish so that we can all go back and have breakfast. Breakfast, right? Or brunch? Okay. Some of you eat the tree also. Not just the brunch. Okay. Okay, number one, this is found in verse 24 and 25. Verse 24 and 25. You know what verse 24 and 25 says? You know, and Paul says this, that as often as you eat, 24 and 25. Give me 24, please. He took bread in the same night when Jesus was betrayed. When he took bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said to them, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And look at verse 25. Like manner, he took the cup and he gave to the disciples and he said this. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this also in remembrance of me. Come on. This too, revelation. Samjit, are you here, India? You know, revelation, remembrance of me, the first significance, the first relevance, out of which you can receive the benefits every time you come to the Lord's table. What is it? You know, what is it? It's not just as a communion. It is a place where you come and God makes your life complete. A communion that will make your life complete. A communion that will bring the finished work of Jesus into your life. So number one, the finished work of Jesus, or the very obedience of Christ. The finished work of Jesus, or the obedience of Christ. When Paul tells us, do this, the cup and the bread and the cup, do this in remembrance of me, simply means Jesus wants us to remember him as a Savior and the Lamb that was slain on the cross. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The communion, the first significance of this communion, it is to bring the reality, the freshness of the cross to you and I. Once we have the perspective of the cross and the finished work of Jesus and the obedience of Jesus, like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. That's the obedience of Jesus. Isaiah 53:7. like a lamb. He was led to the slaughter and he did not open his mouth. Are you here with me? And this remembrance is not just a rhetorical, it's not a theoretical remembrance. This remembrance, if you remember him properly, it brings the finished work of Jesus into your life. Are you here with me? Every time when you take the cup and when you take the bread and the cup, it reminds us of the obedience of Jesus. Because he was obedient on the cross, the Lord did 7 miracles for you and I. 7 miracles. And this is a powerful reminder when we come to the table. As you take the cup, it's a miracle that he did 2,000 years ago for you and I. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's the significance. That which is not healed will be healed. That which is not blessed will be blessed. That which is not joyful will become joyful. That which is rejected will be accepted. Come on. That which is not forgiven will be forgiven. That's a relevance. Number one. Are you here with me? I want to remind you, church. Don't come carelessly to the bread and to the cup. Number one. First miracle, the finished work, the finished product. Number one, Jesus so graciously took all our sin and gave us the miracle of forgiveness. Are you here with me? That's why I keep telling you, don't come to the table with guilt in your heart. Because for that guilt, his blood was shed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says what? We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus through the forgiveness of our sin, not the remembrance of our sin, according to the manifold grace of God. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. We remember Jesus as our Savior. Mark the 10th chapter and verse 45 says, the Son of God did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and lay his life as a ransom. Come on. As the lamb that was slain on the cross. That's a remembrance. That's a remembrance we're talking about. Isaiah 53 verse 5 tells us Jesus, or maybe 4, for he took our griefs and he took our sorrows. And God the Father did not esteem him, and he was even rejected by God. And verse 5 tells us, for Jesus was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment of our sin was upon him, and by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. So first miracle, he took our sin and gave us a miracle of forgiveness. Number two, he took our sickness. How many of you are sick? I always say this. Let the bread be a healing bread. Let the bread be a healing bread. Because his body was broken, today you and I can be healed. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Those on the line. Come on. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for iniquity. The punishment of our peace was upon him. And by the wounds of Jesus, we are healed. We are healed. Why? As often as I institute this communion, you get healed and I get healed. Your confidence in God increases because you're no longer driven by guilt. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Number three, are you here with me? You know, friends, you know, one of the reasons why this family that came yesterday to know Jesus, for years they have been twisted in their life, is because of their twisted lives. You know, a curse twists people's life. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2 says, a curse cannot abide without a cause. Are you here with me? Then Jesus, number three, he took all our curses. You know, he dealt with our wasted life, our curses, and gave us the miracle of blessing. How many would say amen to this? That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. The Old Testament ends with a curse because of the law. The New Testament starts with a blessing because of grace. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. That's number 3. Number 4, Jesus took the bondage of poverty. Poverty. Every child of God has to rise above his poverty. Are you here with me? Jesus took the bondage of poverty and gave us the miracle of riches. Are you here with me? God wants you to be well off. God wants you to be wholesome. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake and my sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty we can be enriched. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. While he was hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, he broke that curse of poverty. Curse of poverty. Come on, somebody say amen, please. The gospel is not a prosperity gospel. The gospel is a wholesome way of living. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Now it's number what? Number 4. Jesus took the bondage of your rejection. Every one of us were rejected. Either we're rejected by our family, or we're rejected by the society, rejected by our own self, rejected by the husband or wife, rejected by the place where you work. Rejection is the most painful emotion. Rejected. And Jesus took the bondage of rejection and gave us the glorious miracle of acceptance. Today, we can walk with our shoulder high, head up, because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many who received Jesus, God the Father gave them the right to become the children of God. Put your hands together, give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. I don't only have an earthly father and mother, I have a heavenly father. Have a heavenly father. Come on, somebody say amen, please. I almost said heavenly mother. And all the ladies will be happy about this. Come on, are you here with me? Come on. How many of you have heard this? I just read, okay? I just read. Do you want a break in between? I just read. Because these guys feel Christianity is not so fair. Not fair. You know, not so fair. Tabitha, right? Ivy. Dockers. Okay. My second girl's name is Dockers too. You know, friends, look at me. They came up. This is part of the New Age movement. They came up, God the Father. Okay, God the Father, God the Son. And the Holy Spirit, they call it the Queen of the Dove. And all the ladies are happy. How many ladies who are sitting here, at one time in your frustration, you said God is a man, he doesn't understand a lady. I'm sure Pearlie would have said that too. Pearlie looking down. You know, so they gave a gender to Godhead. Now please, don't go and read this, please. It's not worth reading. Okay, we don't need any Queen of Dove. Okay, number five. Are we number five now? So how can we be so far 6? Okay, let me go. Number 1, in remembrance of sin, sickness, curse, poverty. Now is number 5. Rejection. Okay, number 6. Number 6, the world today is topsy-turvy with the pandemic and the war and all kinds of instability. But Jesus took our confusion, and gave us the miracle of peace. How do you like that? Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, are you here with me? And he paid his body as a price. Isaiah 53 verse 5, Jesus was wounded for transgression. He was bruised for iniquity. The punishment of our peace, the punishment of our wholesomeness was upon him. And by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Come on, somebody say amen. Put your hands together, give Jesus a glory. John, the 14th chapter, verse 27, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Francis, my peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world word, but as the Father word. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be fearful. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's number what? Number six. Yeah, number seven. Number seven, look at this. Everybody look at me. You know, friends, we are people who always have got regrets in our lives, right or wrong. We always have unhappy, not ending, unhappy situations and circumstances. Okay? When I was single, I had a bunch of things to worry about. When I got married, I had another set of things to worry about. When I had children, I had another set of things to worry about. And as they're growing up, another set of things to worry about. I've got a lot. It's like a set meal. It's like a set meal with the dessert. But Jesus came and broke the set meal. He took our confusion. He took our sorrow and gave us the miracle of joy. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Give Jesus a glory. Hallelujah. I used to hear that I never grew up in Sunday school because I was too big when I became a Christian. I was a martyr actually, you know. But I hear the Sunday school, they sing that chorus, when Jesus is in the boat, we smile at the storm. Huh? Right? How do you sing that? Ah, that's right. I'm going to get my wife to sing all these guys. My wife was a Sunday school teacher for a long time.
With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home, sailing, sailing home, sailing, sailing home. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home.
They rock the boat when they sing. They got some actions they do. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And Jesus said in John the 15th chapter and verse 11, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, these things I've spoken to you that your joy may be full and overflow. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus a glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. That's why, that's the reason when the first significance of the remembrance is when we come to the Lord's table, our remembrance must be Jesus as a Savior, Jesus as a Lamb of God that was slain on the cross, and the seven miracles. Say seven miracles. That's why all these miracles put together, Sarah, anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. All things have gone. Everything has become new. Come on, head to toe. You are made new. Put your hands together and give Jesus a glory. Hallelujah. You don't come and ask God for your healing anymore. Don't do the wrong thing. 2,000 years ago, it was already given on the cross. That's why we have communion. as we keep coming, we receive. As we receive the bread, as we receive the cup, we receive the miracles. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? We are not supposed to live in a lurch. We are not supposed to live in the impossibilities. We are not supposed to live a half-cooked life. We are called to live a total life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Very quickly, time is running out to us because of all the things we did just now. Blame it on that. The second significance. Significance, Yankadua. When you come to the Lord's table, you know, this must be your remembrance. What is it? Let's see. I would like to read 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as we eat this bread, for as often, that's why you need to eat. Some of us need to eat every day, okay? For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, we already did in the first instance, until he comes. Suddenly, the church has awakened to the second coming of Jesus. How can the church live without the knowledge of Jesus coming back? Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? It's a powerful reminder. After I have served this communion today, we would have come closer to the second coming of Jesus. The remembrance of Jesus in the second instance is the soon coming King. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. He's a soon. If every time I take the cup and the bread, the King is coming back soon for me. Revelation 22. Go back under three times. Three times in one chapter, wiki, three reminder. I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. Sing. Your eyes is closing, sing. Yeah, you're not a singer. Sing, what's wrong with you, sing? Okay. Come on, are you here with me? Please keep your eyes open this one. Jesus is coming back. Come on. Come on, are you here with me? The question that we need to ask, is he coming back for me? Am I ready for his coming? With all this war raging, with all this pandemic, with all this senseless injustice, political wickedness. My boss, what? Boss? Apa malu bosku. Malaysians are such a bunch of people. If this has happened anywhere else, it'll be different. With all this wickedness and lawlessness abounding, what is the loud and clear signal of God? The age is coming to an end. The Son of God, the King of Glory, is coming back soon for his church that's called the bride. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. He's coming back. He's coming back. I don't care how strange this news may appear to you, but he is coming back like in the days of Noah when the people were told there's going to be flood. They said, how can there be flood? Water comes from the ground. We haven't seen rain. We haven't seen rain. It's like chasu pau falling from heaven. It's like roti canai falling from heaven. It's something that has never happened. That's God. God makes things that never happen to happen. That's God. That's God. Sometimes God's way seems so ridiculous. Why? Because he is miraculous. Come on, are you here with me? Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And I'd like to remind you, church, during this pandemic, of course, we like him to come back soon, so we don't need to wear masks. But cannot, because you know why? Most of our family members are not safe. Right? Let me just read. He's surely coming back. Everybody say, surely coming back. Every time you come to the cup, it reminds us to the bread. He's coming back. He's coming back. I'm supposed to take this only temporary. It's only temporary, no? It's coming back. And after that, I'm going to take this in the supper of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, let's look at, he's surely coming. Turn with me to your Bibles right now, please. How is he coming? Are you still with me? Just give me another couple of minutes, I'm done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. You know, anyway, many of us don't go here and there, right? Say it, go home only, what? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Look at this. For the Lord himself, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise in Christ. All those who are buried in Hong Kong, all those who are in the crematorium, all those who are here and there, everything I can put, everybody will come. Dr. Indra, Dr. James will meet you. Dr. Indra, Dr. James will meet you. You know, and it says, look, we'll rise. Bzzz. The guy who's digging the grave in Hong Kong, he'll be running for his life. I know the guy, you know. We know the guy. Pastor Boy and I are good friends. We have seen enough graves dug. And he has got a bunch of dogs with him. And the dog's going to run here and there, going to be crazy, because all this thing is going to open. And he will think it's going to be earthquake. It's not earthquake. It's Godquake. Come on. Come on. Dia akan datang. Pasti dia akan datang dengan segera. Anita, put your hands together, Anita. She only the one understand Bahasa Malaysia. Because she's from Sabah. Okay? Then, look at this. Then it's us. It's us. No matter how big you are, no matter how small you are, no matter how thin you are, no matter how samjit you are, then we who are alive and remain where? Not remain in the house, remain in the Lord. Please interpret that properly. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to them with the clouds. Orang yang sudah mati kita akan jumpa lagi. Apa kabar? Kabar kubo. And you know what? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is the meeting of all meetings. And thus we shall always, say always. Always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. And I'm comforting you with this word. Come on. What is the sign of his coming? Okay, what is it? We are in the 11th hour. You don't believe me? You have to believe me, okay? I cannot challenge this. Okay, look at the signs of his coming. Very quickly. Come on. Are you still with me or not? Can I finish this message? Okay, right. Matthew 24. What about all those fellas at the back? Are you okay, guys? Are you guys playing with the phone or what? The phone playing with you, okay? Now, Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 4 to 8. Look at this. This is a sign of his coming. If I don't share this, I tell you, I'll be very un-Noah. Un-Noah. You know what Noah means? Noah told them, but they didn't listen. Okay, you know, look at this. And Jesus answered to them. They asked him this question. Lord Jesus, when is the world going to come to an end? When are you coming back? And they said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I'm Christ, and deceive many. The underground churches in China are in this area because a lady comes up and says, I am the incarnation of Jesus and you worship me. You know, not Kunima. Kunima, don't know some name, the rising sun. Okay? And then she says, and you will hear of wars today. Huh? 20 years ago, where got war? Once in a while we hear and we are terrified, right? During my time when I was studying, where got war? The only war we saw is in the house, the father-mother fighting. That's the only war we saw. Okay, and friends, look at this. And you'll hear wars and rumors of war. Look at this. And what's the rumors right now? The third world war is going to start. Please don't start. We all got investments, okay? We're all praying, don't start. Let's liquidate our investment first. And then it goes on to say this. And it goes on to say, see that you are not troubled. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. Confirm, double confirm. But the end is not yet. For the nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines. Now U.S. is trying to fight with Russia indirectly. Huh? India is buying discounted oil. How many of you want to be Indians now? You go to India, get cheap oil right now. Okay, Rachel, Moody is a very clever guy. When he was in trouble, who came to him? Russia came and helped. Remember history? Pakistan attacked them. Russia came. America is counting who did this, where it came from, where is the terrorist. But Russia immediately came and helped them. All got udang sabale batu itu. Okay, now Albert is an American supporter. Okay, let's move on. For nations will rise against nations. And kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famine. There'll be famine, pestilence, and earthquake in various places. All this are the beginning of sorrow. Church, online. Church, physical. This is just the beginning of the sorrow. But we need to overcome this. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Why? Because this is a clear sign. Now, come on, look at me. What is the tragedy? Come on. Look, what is the sadness? Everybody, sadness. Philia, say sadness. Now, what is the tragedy of his second coming? The Christians in the church, they say, Maranatha. Maranatha means what? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, friends? But the tragedy is awaiting. A tragedy is waiting. That's why when you come to this communion table today, you must be all reminded that you must be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Are you here with me? Whether it's pandemic or endemic, whether it's famine or war or pestilence, we do not know the time and the hour the Lord will come, but we know the signs of his coming. Okay, right? Okay, let me finish. Okay, you know, this is the tragedy. Everybody say tragedy. Come on, are you with me? Just wave your hand to me. You're with me. Those at the back. Okay, yeah. This is a tragedy. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 was 36. And then 40 to 42. But of the day and the hour no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, but the Father only. But that's not an excuse, okay? You know the signs of his coming. That's not an excuse. Church, we need to wake up. Those on the line, those in the physical. Wake up from your slothfulness and slumber and gird your loins, for your master, your creator, your redeemer is awaiting to come. Put your hands together. Give Jesus a glory. This is not the time to sleep. This is not the time. You know, friends, then two men. Look at this. This is a tragedy. Everybody say tragedy. Two men will be in the field. Two men. One will be taken. The other one will be left. We're talking about the day of the Lord, okay? The coming of the Lord, rapture, some people call it. Are you here with me? Will you be left behind? Those on the line? You are not guaranteed because you come to church and you speak your Christian lingo and you read your Bible once in a while. It's not a guarantee that you will be caught up with the Lord. I'll be serious with you. I tell you what it is, okay? I'm not being harsh. You know, friends, and it says here, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken away, the other one will be left behind. Will you be left behind? Will you be left behind to go through the painful tribulation, the mark of the beast, the false prophet, the pain? And then it goes on to say, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. Watch means be ready. Can somebody say amen, please? Ready. Okay, and I'm going to finish right now. You guys okay with me? Okay. It's getting a bit hotter here, that's why. You know, my speech is getting hot a bit. You know, friends, if you don't want to be left behind, what is the preparation? What is the preparation? What is the preparation? You know, no matter what your hearing of the gospel is, what's the preparation? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 14. 10 and 14. It is not so difficult. It's not so difficult. It's not complicated. But look at this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, only for those who don't know the Lord. thief in the night. We are the children of light. Go and read 1 Thessalonians 5. We're the children of light. We are aware of his coming. Okay, if this is new to you, now you're aware. The children of thief is for the those who are don't know the Lord. In which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. If the Lord destroyed the world through flood in the time of Noah, he's going to destroy it through fire. Now look at verse 14. Verse 14. Come on, everybody. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Looking forward to these things. Can I have the worship team come, please? Looking forward to these things. Be diligent. Everybody say, be diligent. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. In peace. A peaceful relationship with God and a peaceful relationship with man. And then it goes on to say, without spot and blameless. What does it simply mean? Look at the last line. Be found in peace, without spot and blameless. It simply needs, come on, church, in order for you and I, in order for you and I to be caught up with the Lord, we thank God that he loves us. We thank God for his grace. We thank God for his mercy. We thank God for his loving kindness. But when it comes to his return, the Lord wants us to be found in peace. Peace without spot and without being blameless. In other words, it simply means God wants us to live a surrendered life. A life that's surrendered to God. Simple, right? Surrendered life. What is important to Jesus is important to you. What is important to the Father is important to you. What is near the heart of God is near the heart of you. What is important to heaven becomes important to you on earth. A surrendered life totally. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I live now, I live by faith through the Son of God who loved me and died for me. A surrendered life. A surrendered life with dedication to God. A surrendered life with discipline to God. A surrendered life with consecration to God. And you can live a happy life in the Lord. Come on, you don't need to become a eunuch. You don't need to become a nun. You don't need to become a monk. You can still enjoy and live your life in Christ Jesus. When your heart is surrendered, the burden of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of the world is lifted up from you, and you live a light feathered life in the life and in the love of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together. That's what the church needs today. That's what we need today. That's what we have, all the facilities, but we don't have surrendered hearts today. Come on, stand to your feet, please. All to Jesus, I freely surrender.